Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Nobody's Listening is brought to you by Manuel Martin and Anna Silva.
You're listening to Nobody's Listening, where we tell funny life stories and invite you to do the same.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to Nobody's Listening, the show where we tell funny life stories, yours and ours. It's episode 206, also known as NL Past Rewind number 4, brought to you the week of February 13, 2014. I'm your host, James Kennison. Thank you so much for joining us. Today is the day before Valentine's Day. I also know it is the day before the day my name was changed forever. See, my name used to be James Lewis Rogers. Lewis was my father's name. My real father, who abandoned me at a young age. But before that, it was his mom's maiden name. And her grandfather's maiden name. And then her grandfather's, or his dad. So basically, my great-great-grandpa, they all lived in Florida, here in this area. I found this out this week. It's kind of entertaining for me. And it goes back to the first guy that ever moved down here. His name was Brunson. Ooh. I mean, that sounds tough. You know, if somebody named Brunson was looking for you, you would be pretty worried. I'm just saying. Brunson Lewis was his name. And he came down here to fight in the Spanish-American War on the American side, of course, America. And so he fought. I don't know what he did. I don't really know. But I know that when he got older, he became a minister, just like his great-great-great-grandson. And he did that after, I don't know if it's because of, I doubt it, but he fought a Florida Panther hand-to-hand combat and killed it with his hands. Brunson Lewis, people. All that to say, my mom married some other dude and wanted to really impress him and took away my middle and last name and changed it to James Wesley Kennison. Oh, I am so proud. So proud of that name. Who wants Lewis with a history of panther killers? I do. Anyway, my wife won't let me change my name back. I've tried to several times. I'm like, hey, I could be James Lewis again, or James Lewis, you know, Rogers again. She says, no, I like Kennison better. So the heck with your pride. Anyway, hey, let me start with a weekly update as if that wasn't one. I have several for you, and I'm beginning to wish that my co-host was here, Mr. John Steinklauber. I tell you, if I could flick a switch, if I could snap my fingers, if I had a John Steinklauber dispenser installed here, I would definitely put a dollar and a quarter in, twist the handle, and open up that little egg and put him in water overnight until he grew 400 times the original size. Then I would stick a microphone in his beak and let him apologize to everyone for everything that he says. I miss that, don't you? Anyway, I was at Steak and Shake, and I was walking out of Steak and Shake, and there were these two guys in a truck. They were pretty rough-looking construction worker guys, you know, but I'm talking about salt of the earth, you know, been in the sun every day of their life, you know, just that wrinkled-up old person skin thing. I mean, just cool-looking guys, but pretty dang rough. Like, you would not want to be in an alleyway with these guys working on, you know, a light switch or whatever they do. I'm sure they were electricians. And so I was like, hey, how you doing? Da, da, da. And they, you know, we kind of bantered back and forth, easing the tension. And I was accepted into their culture. basically by the tone of their voice that I wasn't, you know, a total loser preppy, you know, person, college, you know, person that thinks better than them. And so I walk by, and another guy walks by, and he is not scary looking. He is very businesslike. He has a bald head. He's a tiny bit overweight. I'm more than a tiny bit, so I can say that. And he's just walking in front of the truck, and he didn't nod at anybody or anything. And I don't know why I was watching him, but he had his hands down in front of his pants. And it became evident that he was undoing his belt as he was walking toward the cars in the middle of the road. And then he undid his pants and zipped down his zipper. And me and the two construction dudes suddenly bonded because we looked at each other and our eyebrows went up like, what the heck is this? And I finally realized he was tucking in his shirt. It was pretty, you know, pretty harmless deed, but my God, all the earmarks of something that was going to be, you know, remembered in the darkest part of my mind forever. I kind of looked at the construction guys. I'm like, hey, when you got to tuck your shirt in, you got to tuck your shirt in, I suppose. And he says, if I was him, I'd slow down a little bit. Basically, if you ain't got time to tuck your shirt in the bathroom, you know, you need to slow down your life. So that was interesting and gross. So don't do that. If that's you, I've never seen anybody do that. I would rather see baggy pants for the rest of my life. You know what I'm talking about? And people wear their pants down baggy. I'd rather see that forever than somebody open up their pants, even for a good purpose, like tucking in your shirt. I don't know. It's a weird thing. What you're supposed to do when you're slightly overweight and you have your shirt tucked out is you're supposed to try to do this thing where you hoist it up and stick it in with your hand, you know, all of the folds, and it doesn't really work, but it's a heck of a lot more socially acceptable. People look at you and they're like, oh, he's trying to keep that fat in. He's trying. Bless his heart, he can't do it. He's too fat for that shirt, but he could do it. Or he's trying to. So anyway, I had a friend on Facebook I had to let go of this week because I was I was on Facebook, and on the side there it says people you might know, you know, and there's a list of people based on friends of your friends, you know, pretty awesome thing. But all of these were half naked women. They weren't naked. They weren't even in bikinis, but they were saying through their photo that if I could show you everything on this photo, I would. Every one of them, I had one friend in common with, and I clicked that friend, and this is a recently divorced younger guy that I knew back in Kansas City. And he's obviously got a different type of life now, and you know, whatever. Enjoy yourself and try not to get anybody knocked up or an STD. And remember your family first. But there was all these women, and I'm like, dude, I can't have this constantly popping up. It's just something I don't want to see personally. And then I looked down and I saw one of them, and I was like trying to make out what it is. There's these two big humps, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a butt. It was a full-on female thong, da-dong-dong-dong butt. Right there in the tiny little 75 by 75 pixel image. And we had one friend in common. So I have one friend in common with this girl's butt. So I was like, I definitely have to, you know, fire this dude from Facebook. And but then I started feeling sorry for the butt girl because I'm like, how much is, don't you have family? Don't you have a mom or a dad? You probably don't, and that's what's sad. Don't you have children that are on Facebook and they, you know, mom and dad, and then it's your butt right there? I mean, do you work? You're either a stripper or you work at Starbucks, I guess. I don't know. I was very confused by that. And then I thought, you know, my mind, I'm like, you know, I couldn't pull that off. If my butt was my profile picture, I would be locked away. In several jails, they, you know, within jails, jails within jails, and it'd be like escape plan without Arnie and Rambo there. So I would just be there, you know, no redemption for the Shawshank, so to speak. And so I also realized I tried to do it. I was like, I didn't try to take a picture. I just kind of held out my hand down there in the position surely that she did, trying to match up the angle, because it was a selfie. It was a butt selfie, which is an interesting thing and a wonderful hashtag. I tried to put my imaginary phone down there, and I don't think my arm is long enough to reach to get a proper photograph of both sides of my hindquarters. So I don't know how she did it, man. Hats off, you know. And then I just know my wife would freak out and divorce me and stuff like that. So no butt selfies. And I fired him, and now everything's back to normal. It's like all the people that I already saw that I could friend and don't want to friend. You know what I'm talking about? That's what that list is for. It's like, did you accidentally overlook Doofus here? The guy that you worked with 3 years ago that ate your guts? Nope. No. We have 45 friends in common with this guy. Yeah, I don't know how it happened. He's an idiot. We can't stand each other, but whatever. So anyway. Yesterday was awesome. It's an awesome thing that happened. I dropped my keys into a trash can. Usually that's okay, because you can just reach down, grab it, and then maybe it didn't slip down into the levels, but this one was empty. And guys, this is one of those gigantic, I don't know if they have these all over the country. They probably do. They had them in Kansas City. You know, the giant, huge, massive black trash cans that have a built-in roller and a handle that you wheel down, and the machine comes and grabs it and all this. It holds like 5,000 pounds of garbage, whatever it is. Well, we inherited this one with the house, and it's kind of crickety and old and dirty. It's got like an inch of grease and gunk inside of it. It was completely empty, and so when I tried to drop a couple things in there and that key slipped, I was like, oh, dang it. You know, what am I going to do? I immediately went through all the options. Am I going to lean it over and reach in? Am I going to try to grab a stick? What am I going to do? And then I looked at my 5-year-old son. And he was way shorter than the top of the lid of the trash can. But when he held his hands up above his head, he was more than long enough for what I had planned. Because I, my friends, am a, I love the one game I love the most in the arcade is the claw machine. And I know people say it's rigged, and some of them probably are, but I'm pretty dang good at it. And so I said to my son, I need you. I need your help. You're going to get my key out of this trash can. And he looked worried, but he did it. He let me flip him upside down and hold him by the ankles and lower him like the claw into the trash can without touching the sides or anything. I mean, this was like, what is it? Mission Impossible kind of stuff, you know? So we're dropping him down. He grabs the keys with his finger and his thumb so he doesn't touch anything. And I hoist him back up out of there. And man, he was so proud. And I was so proud. And I totally forgot about it. I was like, Jenna, what was that thing? What happened? Something happened. I got to write it down. I forgot to write it down. And we couldn't remember. And then I go outside and it's raining and the trash can lid's open. I'm like, what idiot left the trash can? Jenna, I remembered. So thanks to me for leaving the trash can lid open. But it's been a day or so since then, and he hasn't contracted any, you know, diseases. So I think he's okay. I'm proud of him. He did good. Okay. It's time for our NL Past Rewind moment. Now, this one has come to us via several people. Let me mention it here. The featured story, this is from Drew Dodson. The featured story from episode 106, Elevator Action, is one of my favorites. It starts out with Trevor telling a simple story about sticking gummy worms to a ceiling of an elevator and somehow degenerates into a visual image of Trevor and Sean making out in said elevator. Yes, it stinking does. Zeke says, my favorite moment of NL cast or past is episode 106. Just hearing you freaking out about Sean and Trevor making out in the elevator. And the Dog King writes, I would love to hear elevator action again. So guys, by popular demand, it's none other than the story, elevator action. Let's not waste any time. Here it is.
Featured story.
All right, you know what it is? It's featured story time, boys and girls. Sit down, grab your popcorn, snuggle up to someone you love. And if you can't be with the one you love, honey. Love the one you're with. The one we're with together here today is Trevor. Trevor, aww, take it away, buddy.
I feel
love
special,
you, man.
In my high school, and this was our, we were split into two different buildings. There was a grade 10 building, and then there was a grade 11 and 12 building. And in the grade 10 building, we had an elevator because it was three floors, and I guess grade 10 people were really out of shape at that point in time, or the teachers were. Actually, yeah, technically, I suppose it was the teachers who were horribly out of shape because the elevator had a key. You see, it wasn't a, you know, you go down, you press the button, and you go up to the next floor. No, no, it actually had a key where you had to, you know, you click the key in there, the elevator would come to you, you go inside, you hit the button, you go to the next floor, or the next floor. Now, this key wasn't something that was available to the students. This was, the teachers had it, the library had it, you know, facilities had it, that sort of thing. So, me and my crew, who I have collected around me, be it Corey from my taking the school apart days and Sean from our trying to kill him days, we decided to procure the key to the elevator. And I honestly don't remember why we decided we needed to have this key, other than the fact that we weren't supposed to have the key, so we wanted the key.
Did you have a Marauder's map?
Oh, you needed to take the elevator apart. That's what it was.
Oh.
Well, you know,
I humbly declare that I am up to no good.
Nothing good can come of this.
Only people can die from this evolution. It's an elevator. Come on. That's dangerous.
Yeah.
We're not.
Yeah.
It's only fun. Throwing doors at people and doorknobs. And, you know,
I know that if I'd had an elevator in my elementary school, it would have been my number one goal to elevate myself through it.
Or make out in it.
I didn't make out in elementary school. I was punching girls that I liked in that time. Oh, wait.
You're cute.
This isn't elementary. This is 10th grade. My bad.
This is 10th grade.
I'm sorry.
It changes everything.
Yes, it does. I still was hitting girls I liked in 10th grade.
It's true.
I bloomed a little late. I'm sorry.
It's homeschool's fault.
So as I was saying, we stole the key and me and Sean were making out in the elevator.
God, dude, I'm waking up my kids. I lost my mind. Crap. What in the world are you about?
Oh, no. I tried to resist. I'm sorry, I couldn't.
Just, I am such a mental image guy. I've already, I got Sean pictured in my head. I got you pictured in my head. I drew you the other day. Suddenly you're in the elevator. And before I could even stop it, that's why I freak out. That's why I gross out when people tell me stuff about their cuts and burns and scrapes. And my wife is going to trump down here with this evil look on her face. You're waking up the children. And I'm going to point through at the microphone as if it's the microphone's fault. And I'm going to say it's Trevor, even though you have nothing to do with this microphone. You don't come through the microphone. You don't go out through the microphone. But I will blame the microphone.
Yeah, I'll take some of the blame, too.
Yeah, see, I was just taking John's thoughts, and I just pushed it up. That's all I was doing.
Yeah. Tell it to Jesus. It's this woman that tempted me. That's what Adam said. This woman you gave me. Yeah. Worked right for him real good.
I tried that once, and I got a broken rib from it. Please proceed.
So back to the real world, yeah? This is what actually occurred. So we stole this elevator key.
No.
And didn't get it from the library, didn't give it back.
And I had the time of my life in the elevator. Now it's you and him dirty dancing. Can you see how this happens to me?
Great. Oh. I hate that song.
And he picks you up over his head and just swings you. Oh, help me.
I was
Trevor's dressed as Patrick Swayze.
I'm trying to pull this off from Ghost, and I can't. Oh.
We can't. Sorry. We mess it up
Sean,
way too much.
Everybody call Sean baby. Okay.
Oh,
hello, my darling.
Oh, no, 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 you're in Ghost now. Oh, no, it's not. It's Ghost. And now Patrick Swayze is rubbing clay all over Sean. Stop it.
You're right.
You're killing me, man. God, it was bad enough that Whoopi kissed her.
You're kissing a girl.
People have been wondering how this show was going to go down with three people. It's going to go down fast. That's how it's going to go down.
Oh, this is a train wreck.
All right.
Well, it's too late to save the story.
It's your fault, Trevor. It is your flipping fault. You did this, and you have to live with the consequences. When you get my mind going, it don't stop for nobody, and it don't stop. All right.
Okay, we're blame Trevor. Okay.
So now that I only have 30 seconds left for the actual story, so let's just say that.
Okay. All right. Okay. You stole the key. You're on the elevator. You're not making out.
With a dude named Sean. Okay.
All right.
Anyway, if people were like, will recall. I'm all tongue tied now, man.
You had to say that too, didn't you? Jeez. Come on. What happened to the elevator?
Worst story ever.
Worst story ever. Anyway, there we go. Okay. If we remember back on the story that I was telling about the things we did to poor Sean with getting him to stick the diodes and stuff into the electrical sockets, this was actually right across from where the elevator reaches the bottom floor of my school. The thing with this elevator was when it would reach the bottom floor, it wasn't a very smooth elevator. So what would happen is it would kind of reach the bottom and it would just kind of have this shudder as it hit the bottom. So it would kind of shake a little bit. Mm. So what we used to do, or one of the things we used to do with this poor elevator, because nobody knew we had the key and nobody knew we had access to this.
Nobody knew of our secret love.
I am so trying to keep this on the rails. You cannot blame this on me.
Sorry, go ahead. Just ignore me. I'm working through this.
Lord Jesus, help him.
We can make it through it. We can do this. Hallelujah. So anyway, gummy worms. If I'm not sure, but if you do not know, if you were to take gummy worms and to create them to be wet, and they generate this, they get into this sort of sticky format,
mm-hmm.
where if you could actually get them just slightly wet, and they will become sticky enough that they will stick to objects. So what we used to do is we used to go into the elevator, grab a whole bag of these things, get them all wet.
I don't want to hear anymore.
Don't waste them. What do you do with the gummy worms?
We would take the gummy worms, we would make them wet. And
you licked them, right? Or did you stick them in water?
We would make them wet.
Did you tell them a funny joke so they got wet?
There was no way out of that.
Gosh.
We'd make the gummy worms moist. And
just say they were sticky.
Can't we just get along? Oh, okay, they were wet. They stuck to stuff. What happened?
So what we do is we would throw them up onto the ceiling of the elevator.
Okay.
So there would be this. There would be like a dozen gummy worms stuck to the ceiling. But nobody, when you go into an elevator, you don't look at the ceiling. You look straight ahead. That's just what our training as human beings is. So we would wait on the bottom floor and wait for a teacher to come down. And as the doors would open, it would do that little junk jerk, and all these gummy worms would fall off the ceiling onto the teacher's heads.
Who put those in there?
And we would laugh and laugh and laugh. And oh, I'm sorry, man. But you know what? That's all the story was. I have nothing to follow this up with, which was any better, other than the fact that we threw a couple stink bombs in there one time. But it's meaningless now. The
stink bombs is good.
Whatever happened is completely pointless.
Oh, gosh.
You shouldn't have kissed him. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you cannot be mad at us. I'm sorry, Trevor. You opened Pandora's box.
I kissed a girl and I liked it.
Help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. I don't even know. I just put the clean rating back on the show. I'm going to have to pull it back off now. I'm sorry.
You set the tone with the Canada's pants, man.
No, I've said that 100 times before. I've
never said
that
deep in Canada's pants.
I have. It was even a thing at the beginning of the show done by my voiceover guy. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Trevor. That was easily the funniest, unintentionally funny story ever.
I think I broke something.
Yeah, my carpal tunnel's acting up and in my ribs.
Thank you, Trevor. That was disturbing.
I can't believe you wasted those gummy worms like that.
Yeah, I agree.
but actually, to sit at the bottom of the stairs, because that was kind of, there was this little alcove area, and that was kind of where we hung out type thing. So we'd watch these people come down all the time. All the teachers.
Oh. And what'd they do when one of those worms fell on? Did they scream and freak out?
Well, usually. And you'd think that after a while, they'd figure it out. They would respect it. They'd look up. But no, I mean, we got them pretty much every time we did it.
And they never caught on that the same group of kids is sitting in the alcove right across from the elevator. Well, I guess that's Canada. Socialized teachings or something.
Yeah. You'd think when you got off an elevator, you get hit with a gummy worm, you see these two boys giggling and then give each other a kiss.
you think, oh man,
a little surreal.
Stop.
It'd just be a little surreal. All right, and that's it. That's NLcast Rewind Elevator Action Episode 106. It's still available for download at podcast.nlcast.com. I tell you, I laughed all the way through that. It's weird laughing at yourself, but I'm kind of a spaz, and it's true. I visualize things, and I can't get images out of my head. You guys know that. The times that I've almost thrown up over descriptions of bones and stuff. I mean, there was a whole series of stories that came in after something like that, trying to make me sick on the air. But it never happened. Hey, I've got some storia. That is story and trivia mixed together. I have some story trivia for you. That was John Steinklepper's first episode as a permanent guest host. And he was even thanked in the comments by someone for his accents from day one. So I was very interested in that. I'm sure John was nervous, but he did fine. And the balance of that is Trevor, you can hear him frustrated in the story. Trevor always had a hard time getting the story rolling anyway. You know, he would kind of start, and I do the same thing. You qualify and you say, but man, having three people threw him way off, and you could just tell it through the whole thing. And I feel bad because listening to it now, I'm like, oh, he was just trying to tell his story, but obviously it had to happen, you know. And also this story here, one of these is the ones that really made me stop being as picky with listener stories, because what I used to do is I'd go through and I'd read them, and if I thought it was funny, it would make it on the show. If I didn't think it was funny and I couldn't edit it to make it funny, it went away. But I realized that it's not really the story, it's what you make of it, and if something just hits somebody just right, the possibilities are endless. I mean, the Dracula episode was named for one such story, a listener input story, and there's dozens of others that are just like that. So this is the one that really made that difference in 106. It is one of our most downloaded shows. 13,828 downloads since April 2009 when it went live on the feeds. I named it Elevator Action, not only because of the pun, but because Elevator Action was an 80s video game, and I hoped it would help with the search engines. It did not. It was just you guys being faithful and downloading downloading the show. I tell you, though, I did name one episode Air Supply, and it was where my brother David told a story where they tricked a guy by putting a bucket of water, a bucket of air underneath the water and went down pretending they were holding their breath for 3 or 4 minutes. And Air Supply, being a band, has indeed tricked a lot of people into finding the show. So I don't know how I feel about that. Are they going to stay if they feel tricked? You know, I was here for Air Supply. So I love the quote. I can't remember if it was in this segment or not. No, it was. It was right there. That's why I wrote it down. I say, how's this show going to go down with three people? It's going to go down fast. And I just love also just the way it goes on and on and on, and it keeps coming up and it keeps coming up. And you think, you're done laughing, and then it just hits you one more time and one more time. I think there's four good times where I was just my forehead to the desk laughing my butt off about this. So, yes, thank you, Dog King. Thank you, Zeke, and thank you, Drew, for suggesting that. You can also suggest your favorite NL Past Moments by emailing them to james@nltcast.com or going to the website and clicking on contact or send a story, whatever I got it labeled. And, we'll look into it. There's nothing that's not, there's nothing I'm going to say, no, we're not going to feature that. Even if it's just a little tiny part, because if I get enough little tiny parts, man, I'll just feature all of them together. Like, for instance, I got one guy, he wants to hear all of the classic bumpers again, the ones we don't use anymore. So I have those. I have all that stuff. So I may be doing that here one day. Hey, I got a few of your stories. These are from back in the day because we didn't do a show for like a year and a half. But this is from Chelsea. I don't know. I've never heard of anybody called Chelsea, so I'm going to say Chelsea. Hey, guys, I have a funny story about when I was a sophomore in high school. She's probably a sophomore in college now, but that's okay. I used to sit by this girl named Jamie, and she was really nice, but she'd always say the dumbest things. And the sad part was she didn't think she even knew. Wait, I don't think she knew what she said because she was dumb. Anyway, one day our chemistry teacher gave us a crossword that had to do with vitamins and minerals. Jamie was doing this crossword puzzle, and suddenly she said, "The answer is vitamin S. I figured it out. Vitamin S." Without even thinking, I rudely snipped at her. "It's vitamins, not vitamin S, you stupid." The teacher who walked by Chelsea, walking by, said, "Chelsea," with a surprised look on her face, apparently pretending that it, was a great find. After I thought about what I did, I was so ashamed of myself. I felt bad for Jamie because, Chelsea's the one that got yelled at. Anyway, she got in trouble. She felt bad for Jamie because she looked like she was really excited getting an answer. "It's vitamin S." After that, she kept giving me death glares, and I just kept it to myself. LOL. Hope this story makes it on the show. It did eventually. Thanks for all the laughs, and keep working hard. Nah, Chelsea. So, Chelsea, thank you for sending that in back in 2011. Hello, nobody's listening. My story starts on a Saturday. I don't know why I read it like that, but just, my story's better than yours because it starts on a Saturday. Your story starts on a Monday. Your story's stupid. my story starts on a Saturday. Me and my family and I were emptying our pool. Sounds like a metaphor. I got to go empty the pool. So we had a vacuum hose, and we were sucking the water out. There's another metaphor. Now, as any kid would, I was sticking stuff into the vacuum hose, and the laces of my bathing suit got sucked in there, and so did my junk. That's 40 pounds of pressure. Everything's attached, fortunately. Clayton. I'm going to assume that was a male. I had started to listen to your podcast lately, and I've been trying to catch up, but I have a story for you guys I would like to share. Well, I hope you had enough time to catch up, because if you ain't caught up by now, you ain't ever getting caught up. My friends and I went to church camp a while back ago, and we were walking along this beautiful camp through the woods. We turned into a path. I turned into a door. And after a while, we got bored, so we headed back, stupid woods. My story doesn't start on a Saturday. I hate it. Kids call, I'll call Joshy, it was one stupid kid, decided to run up the path to see what was on the other side of the hill. So as we were walking away, we hear a loud thump. We turn around to see this kid face first in the dirt. We walk over and wondered how he fell down. Then one of the girls I knew, let's call her Becky, spotted a rope coming out of the ground plain as day. I don't know how this kid couldn't see it. We all agreed that he was a dork and started to leave, but then he said he was stuck. Somehow he'd got caught on the rope. I don't know how. Being the only one with a pocket knife, I cut the rope, and he got up and said thanks. The next day, our group was first for the zip line. Somehow the area looked familiar. This kid came up with a big mouth and said, "I want to be me first." So they strapped him up, and he gets to the top of the thing, and he jumps like the glory of heaven. Just, I can see that. Just, he wasn't even holding on to the zip line. He just, his hands are out. He's holding on to it with his teeth. The glory. Once he got to the middle of the zip line, the rope snapped back and he dropped about 67 feet into a nasty lake. We didn't understand what had happened, but I had a feeling that it was something to do with Joshy and me. We had a camp meeting that night, and at the end, I was sitting by Joshy. Both of the camp counselors came up to the mic. "We had an incident today concerning a zip line." He holds up what appears to be a cut support rope for the support beams for the zip line. And then it all came to me. That rope that Joshy was stuck on wasn't just an unused rope. It was one of the freaking support ropes for the zip line. So now we made that little kid smell like skunk anus glands and some really bad scrapes on his body and a broken arm and foot. But who knew, right? I was sweating like a crazy person, but they left, and I was not found guilty for the crime I did not mean to commit. Thanks, Ethan. Wow. Well, the news is out now, friends. So, camp counselors, if you're listening, you know, we have a history in the show of telling stories, and then the people they were told about find it. So, Ethan. I don't have his last name, counselors, but I have his IP address. Maybe. I don't know. When I was 6 or 7, I knew nothing about punishing crime, but I had a good idea how to do it. Clearing the table, I found ketchup, mustard, dregs from cups of limeade, onion crumbs, steak crumbs, and applesauce. From the kitchen, I gathered milk, soap, water, and something I saw was rum. Isn't that the really nasty stuff grown-ups think is bad? I put everything, yes, everything, into a limeade bottle. I tasted it several times myself to see how nasty it was. And then I went to bed telling Mom to keep away from the limeade because it was gross and it was meant to give bad guys a taste of their own medicine. My sister, the infamous Emma, and she's still around. She's probably 30 and married with kids by now. Or 14 and married with kids since she's homeschooled. Bert! The infamous Emma wanted a cool cup of limeade before bed. She pours the stuff loaded with soap, milk, and all, good God, with all the other ingredients into her cup and took a sip and drank it. Gosh dang. Have you ever done that? Oh, I'm going to throw it with milk. Ooh, with the chunks, and you didn't smell it first and you didn't notice. I did it when I was younger before I knew that milk turned into like little soft asteroids. So I feel sorry for you, Emma. I really do. But anyway, she said, "Mom, I think there's something wrong with the," and she pukes all over. I was settling into bed, Grace says, satisfied. When Mom comes in, apparently Emma's a bad guy. Mom comes in with a weird look on her face. She told me, unsure how to react, that Emma had drunk the concoction. That's a word you learn when you're in when you're 7 and homeschooled. She told me I was creative, but I could never make such medicine again. Emma never quite got over it because she could not stand the smell of soap for 2 whole years. Grace also explains why nobody wanted to date her for 2 years. Hey, James and John, I started listening to you when my sister Elizabeth got me in this awesome addiction. Well, the other day I was making a peanut butter sandwich. This is a very young person, by the way. I could see it in their little, in their caption thing. Probably 10, you know, 10 years old. So this is come at it from that angle. That's what made it on the show. Okay. So, James and John, I started listening to you when my sister Elizabeth got me on this awesome addiction. Well, the other day I was making a peanut butter sandwich. I got to do a 10-year-old voice. I was making a peanut butter sandwich, and I had a big glob of peanut butter on my butter knife. Yeah, and I looked at the table, and I thought it was a butter on the table. And I got so scared that I jumped up at all the peanut butter, and the knife flung on way from the knife, and it landed from the knife onto my forehead, right above my eyebrows and underneath my hair where my forehead is. And it looked like a portal, like in Portal, that game that's called Portal, where you shoot portals, an orange portal, a blue portal. And it looked like one of those portals was on my face. Not either one. It was a brown portal because it was peanut butter and it was gushing out. Well, that was my story, and thanks for reading it. I'm super cute, Lauren. Somewhere in there, I changed accents to stupid middle schooler, but couldn't help it. Thanks, Lauren. It was awesome. Even though you don't know what I just did, I made your story amazing and memorable. So don't get offended. If you're probably 13 by now, you know? So I shouldn't worry about offending you, because I don't care what 13-year-olds think. You guys know how I feel about them middle schoolers. All right, guys, it's time for us to get out of here. Did you know you can sponsor your own episode of NL Pass for only $5? Visit nlcast.com/sponsor today. Email your NL Pass moments, stories, and emails and thoughts and things to james@email.com. Not really. james@nlcast.com. Listen to all the past episodes at podcast.nlcast.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter @NLcast. Leave an iTunes review if you haven't yet. And check out my other show about making the most of every day. It's still pretty funny and cool and real. Made My Day at mmdcast.com. And access all of the NLcast Network shows archived for you at nlcast.com. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to Rob Gobers for our theme music, the co-hosts of Days Gone By, our contributors, and everyone who listens. And remember, when you tell a funny life story, tell it like nobody's listening. Thank you. We'll see you next time.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.